reading, which is on page 988, is from Matthew chapter 21, page 988. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughters of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant.
So today, as we think about this passage and others, perhaps, I want us to take away three images. The first one's about Pilate and two are about Jesus. You know, Pilate would have loved, we know Pontius Pilate because he played a big role in this whole Easter story, the Roman governor. But he would have loved living in Greystones because it's a beautiful town, isn't it? It's by the sea. And Pilate loved to live by the sea because Pilate didn't live in Jerusalem, dry, dusty, bustling city like Jerusalem. No, he lived in a place called Caesarea Maritima. Caesarea by the sea. It was about 60 miles west of Jerusalem. And that's where he and his administration had their stuff. That's where he did his stuff. And it was a much nicer place to live. It was a beautiful place. But on special occasions like Passover, special festivals, he would make his way to Jerusalem. But not just him, but he would bring troop reinforcements with him. Because if there was going to be trouble in Jerusalem at any time of year, it would be this time of year. Because the population grew by 4 or 5 or 6 times the usual number as people flocked to celebrate the Passover. So if it was going to be trouble, it was going to be then. So they brought lots of troops in to reinforce the troops that were always there. Their headquarters overlooked the temple and the temple quarters. So if there was any unrest or disruption, they were there to fix it. And so he brought his soldiers with him on that Palm Sunday of Passover. Can you imagine the sight and the sound? It must have been an amazing sight. Men marching, cavalry and horseback, the beating of the drum, make it a really awesome impression. Because they were there just in case. Now, where I come from in Belfast, we've got parades all the time. And especially on the 12th of July, which can be a great celebration or it can be a real pain in the neck. And as you know, over the years, what happens? Well, the police have all their leave cancelled because no one's going anywhere. Because there could well be a riot at Ardoyne. Well, there usually is a riot at Ardoyne, and who else knows where else? But there's usually trouble of some sort. But just in case, they have their police, the army, just in case. And the picture in Jerusalem was very much the same. The troops marched in. An intimidating sight, perhaps. That's the first image of Pilate and the soldiers entering by the west gate of Jerusalem. But on the opposite side, on the east gate of Jerusalem, coming from the east, we have a total contrast. For here we find an itinerant preacher, a rabbi, coming on a donkey down from the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem. He doesn't come with military might, but he does come with lots of people who are rejoicing that he's come, celebrating with their palm branches and laying their cloaks, their clothes on the ground for him to go across. It was great celebration, but very different from the stuff on the other side. For here was Jesus on a donkey. And there were many people there because Jesus was a celebrity. His fame had spread, and why would it not? Here was someone who spoke with authority. Here was someone who could take someone blind and make them see. Here was someone who could take someone lame and make them dance. Here was someone who could take someone dead and make them live. Why would his fame not spread? So here he was, coming on a donkey. And people ask, because that's the question in Matthew 21, who is this? Who is this? And that's a question many people would have been asking all the way through Jesus' ministry. Who is this? Who is this that he can speak like this? He teaches not like our ordinary teachers, but he speaks with authority. There's something different about him. Who is this that can raise the dead? Even his own disciples, do you remember that story in the boat? The storm blew up. They were scared stiff. Were they going to die? But Jesus stood up and said, "Peace. Be still." And it was. And they said to each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Wow. Can you get the feeling of power in that story? And here he was on a donkey. But the people knew. Some said, "Who is this?" And others said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Galilee." And they were right, for it was Jesus, who was a prophet from Galilee. But he was so much more. Here comes the King. And Jesus knew exactly what he was doing as he came on that donkey. He chose to travel by donkey deliberately because he was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, who said this, and it's quoted in Matthew. Zechariah 9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." He was going to be and was a king. And here was the prophecy. Your king comes riding on a donkey. That is good news. But what kind of a king would he be? Well, verse 10 in Zechariah tells us, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. He will rule, and his rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth." The river is talking about the Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. Here was a king who was coming to bring peace. He would shatter the bow. And the peace that he brought wasn't just for Jerusalem. It wasn't just for Israel. It was for the whole earth. It would extend across the whole planet. This is the king who would come seated on a donkey, a symbol of peace. The king was coming, a king of peace. So Jesus enters Jerusalem. He goes into the temple. And again, it's a story that we know really well. What does he do in the temple? He sees all the transactions that are going on there. And it makes him mad. Why? Because it shouldn't be like that. People were selling their animals. People were selling or exchanging money. And all these practices were fine because they were needed for the Passover, for people to have animals to sacrifice, and people came from all over the place. Maybe they needed to exchange money into the right currency. All these things were good. But this used to happen on the Mount of Olives. But under the high priest Caiaphas, he brought it into the temple, into the court of the Gentiles, a court meant for Gentiles. And here they were buying and selling. It made him angry. So he overturned the table of the money changers and he shooshed off the animals. Why? Because, as he said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. But you've made it into a den of robbers. Again, it was a fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah chapter 56. My Father's house will be known as a house of prayer. So he cleanses the temple, he gets rid of all the animals and the money changers, because it's the king coming to his place. He, the fulfillment of the temple, for he was the temple, he was God's representative. Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the King of Kings. But who came to him after he did that? Everyone who was blind and lame, verse 14, came to him at the temple. Everyone who was blind and lame. And what did Jesus do? Did he say, I'm sorry, I'm a bit busy. I'm going to the cross, I've got a bigger mission, I don't have time for you. What did Jesus do? He healed all of them. Isn't that a good thing to do? Yeah. And the children of the temple court singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But the teachers of the law were not happy. You think they would have been seeing blind and lame people healed. But no, the text tells us that they were indignant. Can't you hear what those children are saying? They said to Jesus. In other words, they're saying, can you not hear what they're saying? Tell them to be quiet. Obviously, it's not about you. And again, Jesus quotes scripture, Psalm 8. Have you never heard from the lips of children? He has ordained praise. So as Jesus sweeps into Jerusalem and does what he does, he is fulfilling scripture, but it's the king coming to his city, coming to where he was meant to be, coming to do the work that he was doing. He was celebrated by many, but those who should have embraced him the first, the people who knew the scriptures inside out, when they saw what he did, when they heard what he said, they should have been the first to welcome him to see what God was doing, but they were the first to reject him. Isn't that desperately sad? They had the scriptures. This was their business. But they couldn't see. Their eyes were blind. And if only they had come to Jesus, like the blind people had come to Jesus, maybe he would have opened their eyes as well. But they would not see. But Jesus knew that that would happen. In one of the other Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, as he's approaching the city, hear what it says. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Why did he do that? He said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on top of another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus knew that he'd be rejected. And he knew what was going to happen in the near future. Just 40 years later, in AD 70, the Romans would come and destroy the city. And yet, the king had come on a donkey, offering peace, offering forgiveness, offering sight to the blind, but they would not come. They would not see. We all have a choice to make. They had a choice to make, but we all have a choice. We either choose him or we choose something else. We either choose him or we choose someone else. But the someone else will always disappoint us. The something else will always disillusion us. The something else will always lead us to destruction. Because rejecting Jesus never ends well. And yet the king comes, offering life to all who will come to him. Those two images, the one of Pilate and the soldiers coming in this gate, and one of Jesus on a donkey coming in that gate. But here's the third and final image. And it's not of a king on a donkey. It's a king on a war horse. Revelation chapter 19. This is to come. These are the words of John who had this vision. I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one but himself knows. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's an amazing image, isn't it? When Jesus comes again, he will not come on a donkey. He will come on a war horse, bringing judgment and righteousness. Will we be looking forward to seeing him? Will we have our palm branches out? Will we sing as we're glad to see him? Or will we be indignant? Will we reject him? But for the moment, the image we're left with is the donkey and the king who sits on it. The one who brings peace, not just to Jerusalem, but to the whole world, to everyone who has ever been born or ever will be born. But if we reject the king sitting on a donkey, then we will be rejected by the king sitting on a war horse when he comes. The choice is ours. Do we embrace him? Follow him? Or something else?